The Good News, according to Luke, chapter 7. After he had finished his whole discourse, intended for the people to hear, he entered into Capernaum. There, a certain centurion slave who was valued by him was sick and at the point of death. When he heard about Jesus being there, he sent some of the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. And they, when they came to Jesus, begged him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy for you to do this for him, because he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent some of his friends to him, saying, "Lord, don't inconvenience yourself, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you in person. But just give the word, and my slave will be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, and under myself I have soldiers. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard these things, he was astonished at him, and turned and said to the multitude that followed him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And returning to the house, those who were sent found the sick slave healed. And it happened soon afterwards that he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples went with him along with a sizable multitude. Now when he approached the gate of the city, just at that time a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, who was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Don't cry." And he came near and touched the coffin, and the pallbearers stood still. Then he said, "Young man, I say to you, wake up." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, so he delivered him to his mother. And a reverent fear came over everyone, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And the news concerning him was spread abroad in the whole of Judea and all the surrounding region. And the disciples of John told him about all of these things. So John, calling to him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, asking, "Are you the coming one, or should we look for another?" And when the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptizer has sent us to you, asking, 'Are you the coming one, or should we expect someone else?'" At that same time he cured many of the people's diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and restored the sight of many blind people. Then he answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them. Blessed is he who does not find a reason to stumble in me." And when the messengers of John had left, he began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in expensive clothes? Look, those who have beautiful clothes and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and someone superior to a prophet. This is he about whom it is written, 'Look, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" That's a quote from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. "I say to you, among all those who have been born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is of little importance in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And all the people who heard John, even the tax collectors, affirmed God's righteousness by being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the scholars of the Jewish law rejected the counsel of God for themselves, not being baptized by him. "To what then can I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another and say, 'We played music to you, and you did not dance. We lamented, and you did not weep with us.' For John the Baptizer has come, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come both eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' yet true wisdom is vindicated by every child which she produces. And one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. So he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to a meal. And here's what happened. A woman who was a known sinner from that city, when she found out that he was sitting at a meal in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of perfumed liquid. Weeping, she positioned herself behind him at his feet, and she began to wet his feet with her tears, wipe them with the hair of her head, kiss his feet, and anoint them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have perceived who and what kind of woman this is who touches him, that she is a sinner." Then Jesus responded to him, saying, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." A certain moneylender had two debtors. The one owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay him back, he forgave them both. Which one of them, therefore, will love him the most? Simon answered and said, "I suppose it would be the one whom he forgave the most." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you gave me no water to wash my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss of greeting, but since the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfumed ointment. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, so she shows much love. But to whom little is forgiven, that one loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the meal with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the end of Luke chapter 7.
The Father's Life New Testament Version was translated and produced by A Grain of Wheat Ministries, not by the reader, Wayne O'Connor. We hope you enjoyed this segment of the Father's Life New Testament Version. The Father's Life New Testament Version, in its entirety, is available for free at www.agrainofwheat.com. Request your copy today.